This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. You would not be too far wrong to say that Samuel Adams comes by his composition career naturally. After all, his father is John Adams, who is probably the most performed living composer in the world today. But Samuel took a slightly different path. He grew up in the Bay Area, where his parents met while they were both working for the San Francisco Symphony. His mother was a photographer. His father was, at the time, the symphony's composer in residence. Samuel began his musical career as a jazz bassist and then studied music at Stanford, where he was exposed to more rigorous academic compositional theories. But he also became involved in computer science and other non-musical disciplines to broaden his horizons. After his studies at Stanford, he went to graduate school at Yale, where he says, "I was able to do everything. There was almost too much to do. I was teaching electronic music, music theory, leading the big band, conducting, writing a lot of music, playing bass and piano. That's probably what I needed at that point. I wanted to write and write and write," end quote. And write he did. Many of Samuel Adams' works involve combinations of natural instruments and electronically manipulated acoustic sounds, along with contrasts between the sounds of nature he experienced growing up in the Bay Area and the urban sonic landscape of Brooklyn, New York. That's where he was living when he received the commission for the work that became Drift and Providence. Adams wrote Drift and Providence between the spring of 2011 and the winter of 2012. It came into being, he says, in numerous inconvenient locations: Brooklyn coffee shops, Taiwanese hotels, even a friend's cabin in a desolate part of the early winter Sierra Nevada. I found this process exciting and unpredictable, and because of this lack of anchorage, I felt it necessary to create a narrative about stability of place, end quote. Drift and Providence is structured around what Adams calls three imagined places. Although Embarcadero and Divisadero are very real, they're literally on the map of San Francisco. In Adams's piece, though, those names indicate places of the spirit. So does Providence, the finale, which also suggests a guiding power of some kind. There are also two connective movements, Drift 1 and Drift 2. Adams describes these as what one may experience moving physically and psychologically between the three imagined places, end quote. Embarcadero, Divisadero, and Providence really aim to suggest archetypal departures and arrivals, Adams says, so the five movements are written to be played without pause. The piece opens in what Adams calls a cloud of noise produced by the percussionists as they scrape on a variety of metallic objects like cowbells, automobile brake drums, and sizzle cymbals. These sounds are amplified and manipulated by the sound designer. Listen for this little recurring figure in the oboe and clarinet. It's the signature of Embarcadero, even as it changes from a two-note phrase into three. Adams calls it a little jazz tune. It's all over the place, he says. Embarcadero is followed by the faster-moving Drift 1, which is introduced by a series of chords in the vibraphones. Here is the second major element of the piece. It's a dense orchestral wash of acoustic sound that ebbs and flows like the ocean tides, cresting and then dissolving. Adams says the resulting music constantly evolves, creating an environment where all its materials, the ocean, the city, the noise of digital life, coexist. End quote. Yeah. Drift 1 builds to a huge climactic outburst in which the trumpet offers a retake on that little jazz tune. Another loud climax is followed by a sudden long silence. Silences are important in this piece. Adams says silences can be really loud. They can do so much to the material, and for me, every one of them serves a different function. Early in the piece, they heighten the tentative or lost quality, and towards the end, they serve a heightened sense of intensity, end quote. The silence here leads directly to the second movement, Divisadero. A divisadero is a high place from which you can observe an extensive area. It connotes distance and separation, along with the idea of dividing one thing from another. For instance, Divisadero Street in San Francisco was originally the dividing line between the city and the Presidio, the military camp. This divisadero reflects both meanings of the word by looking backwards and forwards musically. Because it opens with material similar to Embarcadero, it reminds us of the journey just taken, but then it ventures into new territories. Towards the end of Divisadero, the string currents and brass punctuations from the work's opening return, and sustained chords in the winds introduce Drift 2. This is a short transitional movement that opens with the same rolled vibraphone chords that began Drift 1. Soon, the tempo begins steadily increasing. An undulating wave pattern travels around the string section, punctuated by electronically enhanced percussion. And another huge climax leads directly into the final movement, Providence. This is the loudest of the work's five movements. It's deliberately unsettling. Adams says, "I like things to be kind of murky sometimes. That feeling of being a little bit unclear, a little ambiguous, that's welcome. It's what the piece is aiming at," end quote. After one final climax, the work ends in a soft cascade of winds and brass over the metallic wash that opened the work. Samuel Adams says that, as you might have inferred from the title, Drift in Providence is a work about the ocean. However, he says his interest was concerned not with emulating its sounds, nor painting an impressionistic image like Claude Debussy's La Mer. Rather, this piece aims to develop a reactive sonic environment suggestive of a more contemporary disposition, that the water from whence we came is an object of psychological remove in a highly digitized and distracted life. End quote. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.